If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Curtis is so concerned with the behavior of Tom Brady that he has disassembled the Tom Brady shrine that he had in the bathroom at home. That's how scary this situation is currently.
He bears no resemblance to the man I love.
I don't know if you agree with this, but during the break, a text on the Subaru of New England text line suggesting that the only GOAT who has handled retirement well is Michael Jordan, and Tom Brady ought to follow in his footsteps.
Go watch Michael Jordan's acceptance speech at the Hall of Fame in Springfield and tell me he handled it well. He basically just handled every single feud he ever had on public.
He's not doing showing up at the, you know, at the opening of a new Chick-fil-A. He doesn't do much. Like, he just floats around on his yacht, basically.
Well, I would say the best example of that would be Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is a GOAT that has been above it all, been a guy that does a little TV. The hair dye's not great, but he's been a guy that has not needed the spotlight in the way that Tom Brady has.
Tiger has, I guess, not handled it.
I would say most don't. Unfortunately, when you're the best at what you do and you can no longer do it, like if you're a businessman, you can be Warren Buffett's 90. He's still Warren Buffett. Like, you didn't have to retire. You know, like those guys are okay. I mean, I guess Bill Gates didn't handle it well, but
And there may be people, like, there definitely are some text messages from those who feel like whatever Tom is doing, Tom ought to be able to do, and doesn't bother him at all.
I love the man, so I'm concerned about him.
Yeah.
I am worried that this behavior, a middle finger to Logan Paul? What is it? If you get in the mud, don't be mad that you get dirty or whatever. Yeah. Like, if you sink to someone's level, then you can't complain about where you are. Like, that Tom Brady and Logan Paul should be diametrically opposed. Logan Paul is a guy that's got like 5 functioning brain cells. Like, what are you doing? Flipping off people at the World Cup final in New York? Coming out of a casket? Like, what is this? Stop, Tom.
Is he going to have a character name in the WWE? Like, is that why he was coming out of a casket?
All right. Is he going to be like deflating footballs?
It's very odd.
Oh, God, it is so, like, to say it's beneath them is an insult to being beneath something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. I get it, but, like, I don't know. He's got way too much time on his hands. And the other thing.
But he shouldn't really. I mean, he's.
Where are the kids, by the way? Like, I don't see him with his kids at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what are you doing?
Yes, here's a 978 text that says, wake up, Curtis. The whole Logan Paul thing is setting up Tom Brady WWE appearance. Yes.
Hey, Einstein, I said that Friday.
We've been talking about it since Friday.
Yes, and Tom Brady should not be in the WWE. God, it's for
Is that the way Patriots fans feel? Like, is it bothersome to you that Tom Brady is going to make a WWE appearance, or are you just like, whatever, it doesn't matter, the guy needs, if he wants to do it, I love Tom Brady and I'm with him till the bitter end.
Make a cameo in Entourage, that's fun. Going on WWE is beneath you. WWE's for Gronk. We love Gronk, right? We all love him?
Yes.
He's a lovable guy who's done great things charitably in the region, the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL. He's a big, lovable goof. Tom Brady is the greatest winner in the history of American sports, from my opinion. He is amazing. He did more for this region to elevate our mood than anybody that's ever lived. To do this is just like, whoever's giving him advice, I don't know who it is. I don't know if anybody is or anybody can. You look like an absolute fool.
Is he doing the recorded messages? What's that service that you can?
Oh, Cameo.
Is he doing those?
Yeah, he's right next to Dale. Tom will wish you happy birthday for $250. That is so weird, too, by the way. Like, why? if you know somebody's being paid to wish you happy birthday, doesn't it negate the happy birthday message?
I mean, maybe people like it. I don't know. It's a couple hundred dollars.
But like, it'd be one thing if somebody's like, oh, I bumped into Greg and he said happy birthday to Sean. But if you're paying Greg to wish you happy birthday, then it's kind of fraudulent. I mean, I love Cameo.
Yeah.
Shime's on there.
Here's somebody who says Peyton Manning does commercials all the time. What's the big deal?
And guess what? Every Patriots fan ripped Peyton Manning for being on commercials all the time. Fact, not opinion.
Yeah.
Everybody did. Nationwide, we couldn't go 2 minutes without seeing a Peyton Manning ad. Tom Brady doesn't do those. Now Tom Brady's doing Logan Paul infomercials. Like, I'm sorry. Nobody loves the man more than I do. This is a absolute black mark. Hmm. I don't get it. I really don't get it. You're Tom Brady. Act like it.
Here's a text that says, is his finishing move in the WWE the cell phone smasher? I don't know if he does that or not. I have no idea if he does that or not.
Yeah, he's filming his opponent's signals. I don't get it. I really don't. You have how many months? You have 6 months in between like your last call of the game and then the opener on Fox in the first week of September. Go to Ibiza with your go hang out in Europe. Go to the Greek islands. Go to wherever with your kids. Do whatever you want. To do this, it's been like this month of psychotic, weird behavior.
He must get paid a fortune, though, by Michael Rubin to show up and do these things at the Fanatics event, right?
Okay, but, like, does Michael Rubin own the WWE? Like, why would you? It's one thing to show up at Fanatics. He's done the Fanatics thing. He always goes and he talks to, he's like a mentor for the drafted quarterbacks. He does those, like, he did that thing with Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Caleb Williams and all that stuff. But, like, it's one thing to show up and, like, in the card vault thing, whatever. That's your business. You own it. Like, go around the country with Billy Costa's kid and do that. That's fine. But, like, the WWE is just such a weird. What do you think he's getting paid? $2 million?
To do a storyline in WWE? I would hope it's way more than $2 million. But you don't think it's for the money. You think it's for the attention only.
Right. Well, because there's no way he needs the money. Unless he's trying to buy an NFL team.
Well, he had to invest significant money in the Raiders.
Right.
So he has to pay that off or whatever.
He's making $36 million a year from Fox alone.
Yeah. Whose second chapter, if you want to call it that,
Bills has been worse.
Bills has been worse?
Far worse.
Shime, you agree on that? Why? Yeah. Because of Jordan?
Tom's is embarrassing. Bill's is almost
Tom
pathetic.
Won a Super Bowl.
Bill's is pathetic?
Almost. He's at, getting to that point.
He's at child cheerleading contests in Baltimore. Bill's over-under for wins in North Carolina is 4.5.
Yeah. I think he had to rename his boat to include her ring.
Yeah, he's wearing a Bridgewater State cheerleading ring. I'm sorry, it's not even close.
So his has been worse, Bill's.
Tom won a Super Bowl after the divorce.
Yeah.
Bill is at the ACC media lunch having breakfast with Dabo.
Yeah. All right, here's a text that said, tuned in at 7 o'clock. Is it just you and Curtis today? It's just me and Curtis and Chime today, yes. Wiggy's on vacation. Courtney's back Monday. That's the way summertime goes. People are allowed vacations. My sincere apology to you. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, that's what you got.
Middle of July.
You got me, Curtis, and Chime today.
And thank you for engaging.
Yes, we certainly appreciate that. All right. We are going to get to They Said It coming up, and that includes what Sonny Gray said after win number 12 for him yesterday, what James Harden said about a new big three in Cleveland. You had some audio, Curtis, with regard to Belichick.
Paul Feinbaum, who is the college football reporter at ESPN, blowtorch to Belichick. Mm. I didn't realize that North Carolina was not. I thought they were going to be much better this year.
Yeah.
The over-under for wins is 4.5. Mm. That's like what BC is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on or where they're headed, but Paul Feinbaum, who follows college football closely for ESPN, was unkind to the hooded one.
Okay.
All right. Over the weekend.
We will get to all of that coming up in exactly 2 minutes.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. Chad Tracy, the interim manager of the Boston Red Sox, on this show on Wednesday. And then we are off to Connecticut for a bonus road show. And the match, too. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Who's the favorite?
Well, the way I played on Friday, I think Shyam has to be the favorite. I was horrible.
No, you can't do that.
Off the tee, horrible.
Doesn't matter. I can't. There's in no world can I be the favorite after what occurred last year.
Well, you broke it, broke 90 like a week ago.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've done that a couple times, but
you broke an 80?
No, 90.
Oh, okay.
I've never broken 80,
but a lot of it for you, I think, was the pressure. Like, you let the pressure get to you
very much so
last time.
Yeah, I'm hoping that my work on tempo and swing speed is going to pay off, but we'll see.
Yeah,
tempo,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Breathing. I did a lot of Mac Jones breathing exercises.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping that helps, but yeah, we'll see. By the way, so I just, you know, question for the room. I want a clarification before I was to do anything. Am I allowed to play a practice round on Thursday?
Of course.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I'm not going to get yelled at for cheating.
No,
like,
no.
Hey, this is my first time playing the course. Shine played yesterday. I just wanted to make sure get that out of the way now.
No, that's okay. Fine. Go down there, play, get a practice round in.
Cool.
And then we'll do a little pregame somewhere the night before. See if we can get you all liquored up, and
perfect.
And hopefully that will ensure a win for me.
Hangover, I'll be sweating on the course like you read about.
In the match, too.
Because are we playing on the north course? Is that where we're playing? Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes,
I was invited to play on the south course on Thursday, so maybe I'll do that.
Sick brag. That might be brag of the week right there.
There you go.
Who invited you?
The superintendent of the south course.
Oh.
He shot me a DM.
Oh.
Shot a shot, and I was figuring. I wanted to make sure, though, I could play a practice. I wasn't going to get yelled at for playing a practice round, so, you know.
Okay. I would ask this question. Why would you play the south course if you're going
to
be playing?
Just a warm-up. No, just to keep it fair that I've never seen the north course. Greg has never played the north course, correct? So I just like to keep things even.
I've played both courses.
Oh, okay. Then there you go. Maybe I will play the north course.
It's been a long time.
Fair enough.
I've just been informed that working the snack shack that day will be Tom Brady. So, if you're looking to meet Tom, he will be there from 1 until 2 serving dogs.
Right.
All right. Chime, can we get to They Said It, please?
They said it. It's time for They Said It. They Said It. They
Said It. You know, some of these rats around here.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Duval.
Humbly, one of the best basketball players in the world.
They Said It.
The Greg Hill Show.
All right, They Said It is brought to you every day by Ketch's Law, and at Ketch's, they are ready to stand beside you during your toughest moments. So if you've been hurt at work, reach out to Ketch's. Just go to ketcheslaw.com, and they are there to help, and they don't get paid unless you win. So what's up first this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, we got to start with Sonny Gray, who has had a phenomenal season for your Boston Red Sox.
Absolute crime that he was not an all-star.
Amen. Yeah.
This guy has been popping off.
Yes.
He is 12-1 on the season. He spoke after the win yesterday about this Red Sox team.
We weren't a good team, and that was a fact. but we've always had it in us, and we are a good team. But at the same time, you can't get too high, you can't get too low in this game.
Right.
You just show up, stay in the moment, and take each day for what it is. And if you do that, and you have a mindset and you expect to win, you play to win each moment, play to win each game, then you'll be okay.
Would you have predicted the guy that talked about Japanese maples with us before the season started would be 12-1?
No.
In a million years.
No. Credit Rezbot.
I mean, shocking. But there's no equivalent to what they've done. There isn't. Like, where you were, within a month, one of the worst teams in the history of a franchise that's been around for 120 years to 13 straight wins and you're in the playoffs. It's unprecedented. There's no comp.
Yeah. The only concern I have is if you can go on a run like this, and knowing this team the way they were 3 weeks ago, June 11th or June 16th or whatever it was, can they go in the opposite direction quickly?
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, this could easily, you know, end and be bad again soon. But for right now, I mean, I think they win tonight. I don't know. I mean, they're hot as hell. They're at home. They're, I don't, I mean, maybe Wiggy's off because he wants to do Pete Alonso because he's in town.
Maybe.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Who do you give the most credit to?
The players. I give the most credit to the players. I don't, like, if this win streak occurred after you fired Cora, like the Morgan Magic, like, then it's like, okay, there was clearly an issue there. I credit the organization for moving Roman Anthony, not to say he was the problem, but at least to be proactive and get him to a place where things weren't stagnated. And I like to credit Chad Tracy a lot. Like, talking to Gedman at the ground round at the first road show and how just impassioned he was in support and how the glowing he was in discussing Chad Tracy as a man, as a manager, and that he just gets it. And like, Gedman is not a guy that I believe to be a BS artist in any capacity.
No, it seems like when it comes to being a player's manager, he is stuck with guys, you know. Caleb Durbin, he sat him for a week there, but then he, you know, was pumping him up, and that turnaround is incredible when it comes to that player. You know, I think he's done a great job managing the rotation. I think he's a big part of it. You have to give him a lot of credit for the turnaround. You have to.
When you give players credit, couldn't you even focus in even more on the pitching staff? Like, this pitching staff has been downright fantastic. The starters, we talked about Sonny Gray, but Peyton Tolley's been great. Connolly Early has been good. Like, Ranger Suarez, when he's been out there, has been really good. And that's all without Garrett Crochet. And then even in a game where you don't have one of your starters going, in that second game of the doubleheader, your bullpen was nails for, what was it, 6 innings? After they gave up 3 runs in the first 3 innings, they were just dominant in the second half of that game. And so, like, I think you can really focus on what this pitching staff has done and how good they've been.
Chime, why are people are texting in and going nuts in the Twitch chat that they're hearing Hogdale cursing like a sailor over our broadcast?
That's not me. I'm not playing any Hogdale.
Mitch, is it on, what's
is
going
it on,
on
Twitch?
Mitch?
Is it
hello?
Is it only on Twitch? Like, Mitch has got to figure the Twitch sitch out.
What happened?
I don't know.
I don't even have like a Hogdale clip up anywhere over here.
He's playing like Hogdale. Is he listening to Hogdale down there at Twitch HQ? What is Mitch doing?
I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, Mitch, we need you to come in here. What is going on?
We need an explanation.
Is it still going on?
I don't know.
Well, Tom, can you listen to it over there?
Twitch is going crazy.
What is going on?
He was playing.
Oh, here's Mitch.
Mitch, get on a microphone.
Get on the microphone.
Shime, do you know how to turn those microphones on? Mitch, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hold on a second.
Shime doesn't know how to turn your microphone on yet.
No, I do. I just had to switch.
You look stressed out.
Yeah, I'm stressed out. Just every day there's something else over there.
What happened?
I have no idea what's going on.
Were you playing Hogdale?
No, I'm not playing anything. We have an issue with audio, you know, earlier today. Things coming in and out of the system, so I'm sure there's another issue right now. So I'm on it.
Is somebody feeding Hogdale expletives automatically into the Twitch feed?
It's a software issue. It's a major issue.
Is it China? Like, who do you think?
Why would somebody just randomly have Hogdale swearing?
We had Carson and Kennedy on here during the 5:30 or so. There's audio going in and out.
Mitch looks like he is in a blender. I feel so bad for you, Mitch.
Hogdale.
I mean, it's a real problem over there. I mean,
this is the craziest Eddie Dale has sounded on EEI in a very long time.
I mean,
what the hell?
You got to get control of your operation down there.
All right, I love you, Mitch.
Okay, all right, there he goes.
What? I feel so bad for him. If you were not watching on Twitch or YouTube, he looks stressed.
He does.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
This show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers, and it is the Summer Faux Pay Showcase at Springer's. So that's happening Friday and Saturday in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. beautiful handcrafted Italian gold from Fope. So go see them at Springer's. And maybe Hogdale will be up there as well doing a live. Hogdale and Tom Brady, both at Springer's this weekend. All right, we are going to continue with the rest of They Said It coming up next. Still to come, the news at 8 with Shime, because Mego is on vacation. Courtney back with us on Monday. Wiggy is on vacation. I believe during the break, Shime, you identified the glitch in the Matrix. Yeah. Technologically,
yeah, we think we understand what happened. So for some reason, Nick, the midday show producer, was
Chicken Nick.
Yep, Chicken Nick was editing Hogdale audio in the Red Sox studio behind us.
Okay,
and somehow that's now connected to Twitch as well.
Okay.
So he's taken everything out of program 4. So hopefully that should never happen again.
So we need the audio at some point of Hogdale over us with bleeps.
Okay, we would need to go. We'll have to have Mitch or somebody go back in the Twitch archive.
Well, yeah, and rewind, and then we'll get that, because that would be hilarious in the 9 o'clock hour if we can turn it around.
Yes. Rare content replay, yeah, 9 o'clock hour.
What a fun story. Very quickly, I was at 890 running the board for the World Series in like 2007. Back when AM was king. Well, yeah. 890 was never king.
Okay.
And do you remember the senator who was caught in the bathroom and he said, "I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Yes.
So I thought I was previewing audio. And over this like unbelievable moment in the World Series, you hear, "I am not gay. I never have been gay," like 16
those kind
times.
Of things happen.
It really was a wonder.
Those kind of things
happen. Anyway, carry on.
All right. Yes. Carry on. Where were we?
They said it.
We were in They Said It, Greg, and James Harden has spoken and has let his feelings known on if he'd like to play with LeBron James. We can hear from James Harden.
Can we imagine a power trio, Mitchell, you, and LeBron next season?
That's the goal. That's the plan. You know, we'll hopefully see it in the next few days. So,
yeah, in the next few days or next few weeks or next few months or maybe by the end of the year. Well, I guess LeBron's daughter plays sports and goes to school in the California region, and that is of a lot of importance to him, which is a good thing. And so that's why people feel like Golden State is the is where he's going to go. So not Cleveland, but I have no idea. Nobody knows. Only LeBron knows.
Well, he has 5, right, or 4?
Kids?
No, championships.
Oh, championships. He has
4, right? 2 with the Heat, 1 with the Cavaliers, right, and then 1 with the Lakers.
So if you want to get to 5, you know, maybe you get there and, you know, you're one shy of Jordan, but you have a better, you know, more career statistics. Obviously, he wouldn't be the one getting the most credit for it, but
yeah.
I can't see it
working in Philadelphia, can you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that's off the table.
The
so.
Only other thing I could think of, and I know it's probably not likely, is the warm sentiment of ending your career where it started in Cleveland, you know, where you're from, you know, the king of Akron, all that stuff. But I don't think it'll happen. I think Golden State's likely where it is.
And when do you think he'll share the information?
Halloween.
With us? Okay. All right. What is next, Sean?
Greg, we briefly talked about this earlier, but Bryson DeChambeau was handed a 2-stroke penalty after his, I believe it was Saturday round, where he had a great day. And Rory McIlroy talked about Bryson and the infraction and everything around it afterward. We can hear from Rory McIlroy.
So I was watching it live. I was up in the players' lounge watching it with a few other players. And as soon as he made the step into the ball, we all sort of looked at each other and were like, that didn't seem right. And then when I heard that he was called in by the rules officials, I think it was pretty obvious for why. I think there's no doubt that he improved the line of his backswing. So, you know, and again, it's like whether it was careless or whether it was intentional, I don't think it matters. Hopefully it was careless. But I think the 2-shot penalty was justified for sure. You know, I won't pretend to be up here and defend Bryson. I'm not particularly fond of him. I think a lot of it's performative. I think a lot of it's for attention. And yeah, you know, to hold the tournament hostage like that and have all of us, volunteers, players, everyone waiting on him to depart, I didn't feel like it was a great look.
What a fraud. I agree. Bryson's a dink. Like I told you.
Well, I don't think he is. I like the style in which he conducts himself. Like I But I also don't think he was intentionally cheating. Like,
I don't either. And I think a lot of people have come to his defense. Scotty Scheffler, Max Homa, Sam Burns. Like, a lot of these guys have been like, yeah, Bryson wasn't cheating. He's like even Scotty's like, yeah, maybe we need to police people in general better because we don't do it enough. But, like, he wasn't cheating.
There's no way to get in there in the middle of the fescue without standing on the fescue.
He was going to disturb the marinara one way or another, yes, Greg.
Correct.
But my issue here is that, fine, you can say Bryson's a good guy. Rory is so tone deaf.
Oh, he's like, such a douche.
He needs a mirror. Like, there were countless videos that people posted on social media in reaction to his judgmental rant against Bryson DeChambeau, where he had been doing very similar things, where he was being performative, where he was seeking attention, where he was bending the rules, where, like, whenever somebody brings in, like, the kids or the volunteers, you know they have the losing side of the argument. When he's like, do you think Rory McIlroy for 2 seconds gave a damn that a volunteer missed dinner at Royal Birkdale? No.
Now, I will say, is it accurate that Bryson tried to call Donald Trump during that thing?
Oh, that I have
no idea about that.
It's not, I doubt it.
That's not accurate.
They did play golf together on his YouTube channel, though. So
did Tom Brady.
I mean, true. Tiger tried to call him when he was pulled over for driving while under the influence, if you remember correctly.
Tiger, I think, though, has a little bit more cachet than Bryson DeChambeau.
There's no chance. I think that was AI.
Yeah. I can't believe you didn't like the tournament, though. I thought it was excellent.
Oh, God, awful. But dull as a doornail.
You see that shot Rahm hit on Saturday, 2 feet or on his knees above the trap? Unbelievable shot.
Amazing shot. I think it was also hilarious that the guy who wins the tournament took 22 seconds from when Sam Burns hit his putt to step up and hit the putt to win. He took no time whatsoever. He's just up there, hit the ball, move on, hit the next ball. Just, it was tremendous.
My favorite was when Scheffler had a chance and he was in the deep rough and he chipped it about 4 yards right to his left. That was when I said, oh, what a tournament.
All right. We have more coming. When it comes to They Said It, Curtis has been talking about this audio.
Oh, God.
About Bill Belichick.
The man who has actually looked worse than Brady after the divorce.
We will get to that next on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
With Scheim coming up at 8, if I could, quick Odyssey app appreciation for Gabe from Charlestown, who works for Consigli, and I ran into Gabe at the grocery store yesterday. Very nice man. Listens to the show all the time on the Odyssey app. So thank you, Gabe, and you can, if you have yet to download the Odyssey app, you should. You can listen to us from wherever you are, whenever you want, any time of the day or evening or early morning or midday, whatever, on the Odyssey app. And that is also where you can leave a Hill note and leave it on any topic, and we're going to play the best ones back at about 9:30. But we were in the middle of They Said It, Scheim. What is next this morning?
Well, Greg, Paul Feinbaum is here to rip Bill Belichick a little bit. I know Curtis is going to be very upset with this audio. We can hear Paul Feinbaum.
I think his college future, no one's taking away his 6 Super Bowls, but ending like he is going to end is really embarrassing and sad and in many ways pathetic, Peter, because this didn't have to happen. He only took this job because he was bitter that he couldn't get an NFL job. He chose the wrong place. He has tried to use the magic of yesteryear, and it simply hasn't worked. And I'll break it to everyone who is curious how many games are going to win this year. They're over and under in Vegas is 4.5. 5 wins would be considered a success, and that would mean another embarrassment. And yes, Heather is right. He won't get fired, but he should seriously consider retirement.
How long is his deal there?
3 years, $30 million, I think, or maybe 5 years. It was $10 million a year. I think it was 3 or 5 years. So I was shocked when I heard that their over under was 4.5. Like, the 33rd NFL team in your second year is going to be in the bottom of the ACC again. Like, he should have, if he could go back and take a mulligan, He should have been the Rex Ryan. He should have been in studio on the NFL Today or on.
He was actually pretty good when he was doing the television stuff.
He would have been viewed.
He was on with McAfee, and he was pretty good. And
I mean, in the absence of an all-time great as a head coach, he has been mediocre to bad. And this is not a great final chapter for him. It's not going to end well. North Carolina's a basketball school. I know he grew up and his first words were beat Duke, according to him. But this is another embarrassment.
Well, I mean, also, to be fair, you got to give him some time when it comes to getting his own recruits in there.
Well, but every year is a new team this year. I mean, in the college football now. Like, every year you get a brand new team. It's not like you have to wait for guys you develop. And if he's the one that arrived saying that this was going to be an immediate success. Like, that was his words, not anybody else's. Mm. So if they don't make a bowl in 2 years, Bill Belichick coaching North Carolina? Oh, God. Is Lombardi still there?
I mean, probably. Who knows?
I mean, I have to say, rooting against North Carolina football is one of the fun things I get to do in the fall now, so I don't want him to leave. It is so fun.
I mean, is there any chance that there's an NFL team that would take a flyer on him?
There's a better chance that Mitch becomes the next producer of Apprentice than Bill Belichick is an NFL head coach.
This is Patrick from California. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
First time calling into the station. I'm a Red Sox fan from the Bay Area in California here. You know, some of these hitters have played a little bit above their heads, but the only thing that's really got me worried right now, but number four in MLB and the ERA is really encouraging with this pitching staff that Craig Breslow has made. I'm going to see the Red Sox when they're in Sacramento here in a couple weeks, but overall, really just excited about the team.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary turnaround.
Good morning.
And it is, I think, I mean, has Breslow saved his job?
Totally.
Oh, totally. Okay. Okay.
Could he be the executive of the year in Major League Baseball?
They make the playoffs. He might be.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's no comp, Greg. There's no team I can think of that in season, within weeks, has gone from worst team of all time to playoff legitimate contender.
Yeah.
Without a major, there wasn't a major trade. They actually lost players and they got better.
I heard Bradfo on the station yesterday giving the credit to the Tartan Army.
Okay. Why?
Because that's when he believes that they got everybody fired up when they were at Fenway, and that was, from his perspective, that was the turnaround.
It's really the Jaylen Brown trade. They haven't lost since it.
That's true.
It is true.
What?
Everybody wanted Jaylen Brown out of Boston, apparently.
It, the other thing is I love Bradfo, you know that, but he sees that the Tartan Army gets clicked, so now he connects it to everything he talks about.
Well, I think he really loves them. He went to Scotland, did he not? I think he went.
Well, his daughter graduated from the University of Edinburgh.
Oh, okay. So he didn't go over there just to see the Tartan Army.
I mean, maybe he wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for the Tartan Army, but I believe that his daughter graduating was the impetus behind the trip.
No Bradford, no party.
Right. Amen. No Bradford, no tilted brim. But, yeah, it was shocking. Absolutely shocking. I cannot, the win, the comeback win Saturday was really like, okay. At that point it was what, 11, 10 straight wins? And you're like, oh, all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
They swept the doubleheader Friday. It was a weird day where the late game was delayed. There was a rainy afternoon, whatever. Ken was on the pregame. He's a jinx, whatever you want to blame it on. And then you have Abreu with that home run. That is the moment, right? That's the moment of the season right now.
Yes.
Tarps off.
100%. That's the moment of the season.
Yeah, Lou jumping up and down. Great call with Dave O'Brien on Nesson. Like, that is the signature. That's the, what was it, Eckersley with Mookie Betts in 2018, where it's time to party. Like, that was the 2026 version of that call. Just a great organic Fenway moment. Awesome.
Yeah, and so I am anxiously awaiting, as I think everybody is, the buying process. And you better be buying big. And so... I'm assuming that you want, there's a lot of talk about, Lindor, who's a lefty. Like, why are you adding lefty bats to this team?
You need a right-handed bat and you need number three starting pitcher. That's what you need. And they have the assets to get it done. I feel like the fan base is now fully back in again. and you're going to be, if you approach this deadline the way you did last year, the boos that Breslow got in Fall River will pale in comparison to what he feels this time around, because fans are anxious, and we may be without baseball next year. So might as well go for it right now, because who knows what these prospects will be and when they'll actually get to the big leagues in the first place.
Here's a 617 text that says, which happens first, Bill Belichick goes back to the NFL as a head coach, or Greg goes on his run? Listen, Savage, Shime, your buddy Savage was all over me, Savage Boston, saying I need to go on that run. I tried to get it set up for Fenway Park. Red Sox aren't, they're not into it.
Is it Dave Mellor?
I feel like I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is, Craig.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the Dave Mellor thing that he thinks that you will ruin the grass or ruin
that's
the,
what it is.
The field?
Yeah. Yeah, worried about that.
I mean, Chad Tracy's on Wednesday. We can ask him. Yeah. He's the skip.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be able to get
it. He could probably approve it.
Totally.
Go above Colin Birch's head or anybody else's head over there.
Far be it for me to say who's above his head, but yes. My guess is Chad Tracy has some pull.
Yeah.
Especially today.
No, I mean, it's an extraordinary turnaround. It really is.
How was the vibe Friday?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I think I said earlier, Lou was spot on saying that this is what Fenway Park should be. That game, you brought it up Saturday, people sitting through the delay, people like into it in the rain, and they get it done. It's awesome.
It was great. Awesome. What a great call. The tarps off, all the guys, just many of whom probably wanted to put it back on, but it was a awesome.
Yeah.
Totally out of nowhere.
Were you guys doing your show over there?
No, we were here Saturday.
Oh, you were here Saturday.
Yeah, the James man came in.
Oh, he did?
We had a great, he took over for Ken for a bit. And Ken did the pregame show. What's with the wildfires? They come in, they go out. What was that again?
Boo Yankees!
There you go. Boo Yankees.
You're doing the show Saturday from Gillette?
Gillette Stadium. Patriots training camp, as Ken put it, as the lid lifter. I'd never heard that term before.
Oh, the lid lifter? What does that mean?
The opener, like you're opening the lid. Something's happened to Ken. He bears no resemblance.
I've never heard that. He's totally disconnected.
I try and talk to him like off air. He's like,
Pelota, como estas?
He's calling Worcester games. And then whenever we talk about Chad Tracy, he acts like he's known him for a lifetime. He's like, oh, well, when I was in Worcester, I'm like, okay, you did two games. You spent half of it at the omelet station in the press box.
Put a smile on that one.
Chad Tracy's being inducted into the Woo Sox Hall of Fame on Thursday.
That's awesome. So, I mean, he deserves it, but I am thrilled. I think it's going to be a record crowd at Gillette Stadium Saturday. The reigning AFC champions begin training camp. There will be, my guess, many Vrabel chants, standing with the coach.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of fans there screaming in his defense. It'll be, it's probably been like 15 years since I've been at Patriots training camp.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how it's set up.
It should be, veterans have to report Friday, Saturday, day one, Ken and Curtis there. And we will be back in exactly 2 minutes with Shime and today's news.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.